First of all, a note for parents in Chapel Hill Carborough City Schools. Bus Route 44 will not be running this morning as a driver shortage drags on. That route serves Morris Grove Elementary, Smith Middle School, and East Chapel Hill High. If your child rides that bus, district officials are asking you to find alternate transportation today. You can also call the district's transportation office anytime after 6:30 and arrange a later bus pickup. That won't come until after 9 o'clock, but you can do that. Our top story today, Chapel Hill Town Manager Maurice Jones abruptly announced his resignation yesterday morning after 4.5 years on the job. In a statement to the town council, Jones said his decision came after an assessment of my personal priorities, direct quote. During his tenure, Jones helped Chapel Hill navigate the COVID pandemic, develop a climate action plan, and create an office of diversity, equity, and inclusion, among other things. Visit our website, chapelboro.com, for more on Maurice Jones, including statements from Mayor Pam Heminger and the town council. The town council will hold a special meeting at 5 o'clock tonight to name an interim town manager. The search for a permanent replacement will begin in January and take about 6 to 8 months. Over to crime news, as a woman is in custody this morning after a pair of armed robberies on Monday. Authorities say 38-year-old Alicia Moles of Hillsboro held up two victims at gunpoint, the first in Hillsboro at around 6 a.m., the second at New Hope Commons in Durham around 6 p.m. In both cases, Moles reportedly forced the victims to drive to an ATM and withdraw cash, at which point she took the money and fled. No injuries in either case, but Moles now faces multiple charges of armed robbery, plus kidnapping, assault with a gun, and possession of a firearm by a felon. Back to Chapel Hill now, where the town council signed off last week on Complete Communities, a framework for future development created by leading urban planners and designers. With more on what the Complete Communities framework will mean for Chapel Hill, here's 97.9 The Hill's Brighton McConnell.
After surveys, conversations, and studies, Chapel Hill crafted its Complete Communities strategies to reflect how they wish to direct growth toward existing greenways, transit corridors, and both small and large infill sites. As part of the consultancy, urban planner Jennifer Kiesmatt encouraged the town council to pick pilot projects to try out this framework. The idea of quickly but intentionally building with these updated visions will provide a tangible example to officials and citizens alike.
The goal is to demonstrate that transformative change is possible in Chapel Hill, to build trust in council's capacity to act and to advance change, to lay the foundation for advancing the strategic initiatives that we just talked about, and to begin the process of delivering on the promise of complete communities.
In a previous meeting, Chapel Hill Town Council members had already voiced support of two pilot projects suggested by Kiesmatt, seeking to create an everywhere greenway system with help from federal funding, and to enter a partnership with UNC to redevelop 720 and 730 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, just north of downtown. But since the Greenways project requires more federal involvement and the Midway Market project can begin immediately, the council also considered choosing a more long-term project to try out the Complete Communities framework on. Ultimately, they unanimously selected the Parkline office property off Fordham Boulevard to seek further development on part of its 36 acres. Kiesmatt said she favored this site as the long-term pilot project because there's already momentum and interest from outside developers who are willing to partner with the town and build with their new strategies in mind.
And I'll just note that a significant amount of housing can be accommodated here in a relatively dense urban form, and layering things in like getting the natural areas right, the links into the greenway network, ensuring that there is a very strategic approach to stormwater management. Those are all key objectives of the Complete Community Framework that can be housed within the scope of the Parkline redevelopment.
Kiesmatt said preliminary conversations with stakeholders have already been held. The next step for Chapel Hill staff and council members is to negotiate with those same groups to determine their level of interest, their timelines, and desired scope for the eventual development. Kiesmatt said establishing a memorandum of understanding will be a critical step for the town council to do once ideas for the site become clearer. Chapel Hill Town Council members widely praised the Complete Communities framework and the cooperation of the consultancy group for helping reshape their mentality around future growth. Councilmember Amy Ryan said she's believed the towns needed more detailed visioning for a very long time, and said Chapel Hill will make amazing things happen for a community of its size.
I agree with you. The project-by-project system does not build a city the way that we want to build it. This will allow for the growth we need. It will help us protect our natural spaces and greenways. It'll build on our town's strengths. I know when you came in, you looked at our built form and said, oh my gosh, this is, how do we do this? And you're like, wait a minute, that's our strength. That's, you know, you flipped it around and said, yeah, we can make this happen.
Councilmember Karen Stegman echoed those remarks, and she said she feels as if the town council has been able to rally around this cohesive vision despite everyone having their own ideas.
I do think it's already changing how we are working and how developers are coming to us. You're able to incorporate a lot of our goals around climate, around multimodal transit, around equity, all of these things that you were hearing from us, somehow you put it together into something that we really are excited about.
To better help cement the Complete Communities strategy into Chapel Hill's planning process, the council will vote to update the town's comprehensive plan with the framework's language in 2023. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Brighton McConnell.
In state news, lawmakers say the General Assembly is going to spend time next year taking a look at how to protect the state's power grid in the wake of the attack on Duke Energy substations earlier this month that left Moore County in the dark for nearly a week. Republican leaders Tim Moore and Phil Berger confirmed that to the media yesterday. Now, as we approach the year's end, one of 2022's biggest stories was the midterm election, which brought many new lawmakers to Congress, including locally, where State Senator Valerie Fouché won her bid to replace David Price in the U.S. House. They're entering a Congress that's been characterized by dysfunction in recent years, but could the next 2 years be different? UNC political scientist Sarah Truel says Congress has been ineffective in part because more lawmakers have been both inexperienced and unwilling to compromise, what David Price calls show horses rather than workhorses. But in the last election, Truel says the trend started going the other way.
One of the silver linings in the 2022 election is, for the entire institution, that more of what political scientists call quality candidates, so candidates that come into the institution with prior legislative experience, they won. They did pretty well. A lot of my research focuses on non-quality candidates, so people who lack prior experience in elective office. The trend there has been that those types of candidates have been on the rise, both on the left and on the right. Not to say there aren't good candidates out there, but at the same time, the problem with electing them, generally speaking, is that they don't come in understanding how to put together an effective staff, right? How you hire on the Hill, what kind of policy expertise you need. And so when we think a little bit about, you know, if workhorses or show horses had a better election year, I actually think the workhorses had a pretty good year. And so it'll be interesting to see is, are they able to get things done? And that takes us back to that small majority we see the Republican Party coming in with. They might have more workhorses, but they still have some pretty big show horses on the right that are going to make it really challenging for the party leadership to be effective.
That's Sarah Truel speaking there. You can listen back to the full conversation in the This Morning with Aaron Keck section of our website, chapelboro.com. 6:19, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by All About Insurance. Biscuits last night for UNC men's basketball as the Tar Heels rolled over the Citadel 100-67. Breakout night for Carolina's bench. They combined for 42 points, led by freshman Tyler Nickel with a career-high 16. Among the starters, Caleb Love led the way with 17, plus 6 assists and 0 turnovers. UNC shot 48% from three-point range, and 13 Tar Heels scored in all, including Armando Baycott with 14 points and 11 boards. That breaks Billy Cunningham's UNC record for most career games with 10 or more rebounds. After the game, head coach Hubert Davis said the team took advantage of a six-day break to get back on track after their loss to Virginia Tech.
You know, when we were on the road, it's just we're playing so many games and traveling, we couldn't practice. And so now that we've been home for a week and a half, we've actually had time to practice. And I know that sounds simple, but it's really a big deal. You know, just having an opportunity to build habits, to get out there and practice and find a rhythm. And also for me as a coach to be able to coach that and to see that in practice, as opposed to in the heat of a game, a one-point game in the second half, you know, it gives me confidence, it gives them confidence, and I really feel like being at home the last week and a half has really helped us in terms of becoming a better basketball team, because we've been here and we've been able to practice.
That's Hubert Davis there. Next up for the Heels, a trip to New York for the CBS Sports Classic. That'll be this Saturday against 23rd-ranked Ohio State. Elsewhere in sports, individual honors for several Tar Heel athletes after the fall season. First in football, where junior linebacker Cedric Gray has been named a second-team All-American by the Sporting News. Gray led all Power 5 linebackers with 137 tackles this season. And in field hockey, seniors Aaron Mattson and Meredith Shoulder have earned first-team All-American honors from the National Coaches Association. Freshman Riley Heck made the second team. For Aaron Mattson, that's her fifth time as a first-team All-American, first Tar Heel ever to achieve that feat. The spring sports season is just around the corner, meanwhile, and the schedule is out for UNC women's lacrosse coming off a national championship back in May. Carolina hosts Elon for an exhibition match on February 4th. Then the Tar Heels open their season on the 11th at home against James Madison. Other highlights include a trip to Northwestern on March 19th for a rematch of the NCAA semifinal and the ACC home opener against Boston College on March 4th. That's a rematch of the national championship game. Get a link to the full schedule on our website, chapelboro.com. Finally, in hockey, another win last night for the Carolina Hurricanes, 1-0 at Detroit. The Canes are back home tomorrow night, hosting Seattle at 7.